100 years, 1,000 years, we're marching on the road. The going isn't easy yet, we've got a heavy load. We've got a heavy load.
Thank you very much for joining me, Jeremy.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for chatting.
I guess what I want to start with is choices that you made as a group. In this day and age, you can dress up your music with just about anything you want. It's an age of Pro Tools, you know, albums really being, you know, given their final signatures with layers and layers of sounds and samples. And you've made a stark decision, a choice not to follow that.
Yeah, that's really true. Windborne is almost entirely a vocal-based ensemble. There's four of us, and about 90% of our music is four voices, and that's all you hear. And we stick to that pretty closely in this album as well. The core of the album was the four of us in the studio at four mics, really just like right facing each other in a little circle, basically, and singing these songs of social struggle and really relying on the power of the human voice and of vocal harmony to convey these messages that we wanted to put forward in this latest project.
I think you were very successful. I mean, the sound is kind of elemental. I get a little bit of church out of it. I get even Quaker singing, maybe, as well as folk sentiment, or, you know, you writing about real struggles that are so universal that they belong in a folk category, you know?
Yeah, well, that's sort of the core of what we do. In most of the songs, we call it an album and songbook of social struggle. It's the way that we present it is with this hand-bound book, illustrated word sheets and all of that. But it takes songs that were really being sung in movements over the past 400 years, starting as far back as the 1640s, the Diggers in the UK, which were a group of radical Protestants who interpreted the New Testament to be calling for social equality to level the social classes. They were also known as the True Levelers. And you listen to some of these songs, and when we found them, it was like, wow, this feels like it could have been written this year or last year. It doesn't feel like it's nearly 4 years old. As we have more recent as well, but that's a relative term. There's things from the 1840s and voting rights movements. We have things from sort of the 1920s and 30s. A lot of stuff with union songs, coal mining songs, songs of protest or awareness raising. There's one song with banjo on it is our version of Where Have All the Flowers Gone, Pete Seeger, a little bit later on. He wrote that in the 50s. And then it has one song that we wrote dealing with environmental climate change and taking action around that. And that was written sort of within the past 10 years. But it takes these songs from real movements and tries to draw that power and connect that thread of movements past with struggles that we face in today's world.
So a rich, rich repertoire, but someone or a few of you have to be serious history and research nerds, I guess, in order to uncover some of this. This isn't always just published by the famous classical publishers or whatever. You know, you have to do a bit of digging.
That is true, yeah. There's all sorts of digging that goes on, and a lot of times that happens in stages. We'll find some aspect of the song, and be like, wow, what is this about? And then delve a little bit more into the movement that it came from. And then sometimes that also leads us to other songs. There's a number of songs on this latest album that came from a movement called the Chartist Movement in England in the 1830s and 40s, which was this huge grassroots movement for working class voting rights, really basic stuff to standards, things like a secret ballot or not having to own property to vote, or drawing a salary if you were elected to serve as a member of parliament. So you didn't have to be independently wealthy to be in the political arena, things that we hear echoed today. But it was this huge movement that they collected 1.5 million signatures, three separate occasions in those two decades, the 1830s and 40s, in a time like obviously before internet, collecting signatures a little bit harder, but also like before phone, before automobiles, in the same decade that trains were first starting to connect British cities. So when they collected these, it was literally on wagons they got from all over the country, huge reams of paper coming into London. And so you delve into these worlds of not just the music, but the history and the stories. And that's a really integral part of our concerts and our mission. We don't just sing songs, but we tell some of that history. We draw people through those movements, through that time, and make the connections explicit between what's happening and what's happening now.
To wear. Down, down we go, we are so low, to the hell of the deep-sunk mine. But we gather the proudest gems that glow when the crown of the despot shines. Whenever he lacks, upon our backs fresh loads he deigns to lay. We're far too low to vote the tax, but not too low to pay. We're low as to war we go to fight some foreign country. That was yesterday our greatest friend, but today's our enemy. God bless our boys, the papers scream. Praise them, the churchmen cry. When the war is won and home we come, who cares if we live or die? We're low.
For the most part, your singing is all together, like you don't split words and timings of phrases between the four of you. So you can clearly hear first time through every single word of the text.
Yeah, well, we certainly pride ourselves in being able to convey the lyrics of what we're singing. And we sing a lot of music currently in this Song on the Times project. But we also sing a lot of music from different countries and cultures around the world and in different singing styles. And so we, when we're working with other languages, we also sort of try and make that really as accurate as possible. And in English, yeah, we get that comment a lot from folks. It's like, wow, I could actually understand what you were saying. And we're proud of that. It feels like important if what we're talking about is these topical songs where the message is really central, that people actually understand what's going on.
Jeremy, do you have a formal training background in voice or any other instrument? And is that, how does that play out for the rest of the members?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. We all sort of have different levels of formal and informal training. I will say that our core background really is growing up in communities where community singing was an important part of our lives. We grew up, all of us, around New England in some kind of folk music and dance communities. And so there were singing parties at my house, and I would go to places where instead of just listening to music, we'd be listening to music that someone was playing, and more often than not, there was like that was a participatory thing. So a lot of this singing with people at a party, improvising harmonies, that really was a big core part of our training. And another aspect is we all attended a camp called Village Harmony, which is based out of Vermont, but runs programs for teenagers as well as for adults around the country and actually around the world, where they bring singing masters from different traditions, both from the U.S. and from places like Corsica or Georgia or Lithuania, South Africa, Bulgaria, all sorts of different really specific and interesting places that have traditions of vocal harmony singing. And you sing together for a week, and then maybe you go and give a week of concerts or 2 weeks of concerts. And that was a really formative experience for us. It's a program that's still around and still, they just celebrated their 30th year. And you can, if the idea of spending a week or two singing with a bunch of other people, like 7 hours a day, sounds like a good time, you should check it out. It's at villageharmony.org.
Wow. Yeah, that's very 19th century of you to and your families to make your own fun with singing and music and dance, you know.
Totally. We feel quite lucky, and I think it was interesting at a certain point in each of our lives that we realized that that wasn't actually most people's experience of music. Most people had the experience of like listening to it or their parents listening to records or CDs or what have you, and that was sort of the interaction, and that music was something that you listened to. That's sort of the typical idea. And for all of us, music was something that you did, and not necessarily professionally. It was something that just was part of life. We all sort of had to realize that later. And then some of us have more like formal music training. Will has a master's in choral conducting, so has quite deep sort of classical formal training, but all of us sort of studied it in some capacity or other throughout our lives.
Let's get back to the concert on Sunday, which begins at 3:30 at Gull Lake United Methodist Church. The church is in the village of Richland, and it's just an 8-mile drive from Kalamazoo. One thing that stands out is it is a benefit concert for Kalamazoo County's Juvenile Home Foundation. Did you request or suggest a way to help out our community when you were setting up your tour?
Yeah, well, we didn't suggest the particular cause, but it's something that we love to do. Our music has a social message, and we have sort of a social message for behind what we do. And whenever it's possible, we love to bring groups that are doing work that's tied into social justice or that's tied into a cause that we believe in, to be involved in our touring in some way. And sometimes that takes the form of people from an organization coming and speaking during the intermission of one of our shows, getting to showcase, spread that message other times. And we were really grateful to the congregation for setting this up. They have a social justice committee of some sort, and they got in contact with the organization and said, hey, we'd love to do this. And so there's a sponsorship that's happening there. And from what we're able to do is we're hoping to bring a lot of people together, raise some money for that, but also just have people come together in physical community, think about some of these ideas, both the ones that we're raising through our music and the ones that are presented in the organization. And that does something. And I think it does something different to get people in a room together than to send to send some money online or something like that. The physical spaces that we share, community spaces that we share, either on ongoing basis or just for a few hours, feel particularly important and sometimes rare in the world that we have today.
Well, I think there's no question that at your concert there will be much to think about, much to connect with. If you're feeling a little discouraged lately, that you're out of the loop or all alone or just left behind, there might be some great messages of hope there and something to take home as well, Song of the Times, which you can do a little reading and just feel connected to centuries of history with Winborn. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the most gratifying things these days is that a few years ago when we were singing songs, people would leave and be like, that was an amazing concert. The harmonies are so beautiful. The songs are wonderful. You sing in all these different languages. It's great. And now people still sing all those things. But they're also saying, thank you for giving me hope. Thank you for giving me a reason to keep fighting and keep working towards the world that I want. And to hear that people are uplifted and that people have a sense of connection through what we're doing is really the most amazing feeling. And that is what helps us also sort of keep going. I should mention that if anyone can't come to the concert but would like to check that out, you can find more information at windbornsingers.com. WINDBORNE singers.com. And find all of our information there as well.
Well, thank you. I was going to read that myself, but it's much better coming from you. Jeremy, let's leave it right there on that note of hope. And I hope you have a wonderful concert at the Gull Lake United Methodist Church in Richland. And safe travels.
Thank you so much.
Before we do, old England must pay us what she owes. So arouse you, sons of freedom, the world seems upside down. They scorn the poor man as a thief in country and in town. So arouse you, sons of freedom, the world seems upside down. They scorn the poor man as a thief in country and